Today's scripture reading is from Mark chapter 5, verse 21 to 43, the New International Version. When Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while it was still by the lake. Then one of the synagogue leaders named Jairus came, and when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. He pleaded earnestly with him, "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live." So Jesus went with him.
A large crowd followed and pressed around him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had, yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, "If I just touch his clothes, I will be healed." Immediately her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" "You see the people crowding against you," his disciples answered, "and yet you can ask, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, and trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." While Jesus was still speaking, some people came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. "Your daughter is dead," they said. "Why bother the teacher anymore?" Overhearing what they said, Jesus told him, "Don't be afraid, just believe."
He did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, "Why all this commotion and wailing? This child is not dead, but asleep." But they laughed at him. After he put them all out, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kum," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." Immediately, the girl stood up and began to walk around. She was 12 years old. At this, they were completely astonished. They gave strict orders not to let anyone know about this and told them to give her something to eat. This is the word of the Lord.
Heavenly Father, precious Jesus, and blessed Holy Spirit, thank you for the reading of this word. And we pray, Lord, that you will touch our hearts with these words of Scripture. This we ask in Jesus' name. And the people said, Amen. So Jesus gets down from the boat. A synagogue leader called Jairus falls at his feet. He pleads earnestly with Jesus, "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live." And so Jesus goes with Jairus to try to get to his home. Now, for those of you who have read Mark in the first four chapters, this is chapter 5 of Mark. For those of you who have read the first four chapters of Mark, this is a surprising development. And why is this a surprising development? Because in Mark chapter 3, the teachers of the law from Jerusalem go up to the region of Galilee, north of Jerusalem, and they tell the crowds that Jesus casts out impure spirits by the power of Beelzebul, the prince of demons, Satan. And I wonder if those Jewish teachers of the law from Jerusalem have sent a directive to all the synagogues in the region of Galilee. Have nothing to do with this Jesus. He is a tool of Satan. Jairus is a synagogue ruler. He must have read this directive. And yet, he is the father of a 12-year-old daughter who is dying. Being a parent myself, I will say that I will do anything for my children to keep them alive. Jairus might be risking his reputation in the synagogue by going to Jesus and asking him for help. My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live. So while Jesus and Jairus are walking briskly to Jairus' home, Jesus suddenly feels his power go out of him. If you like, someone touches the edge of his garment. So he feels that he should look around and ask, "Who touched me? Who touched me?" So it's not only Jairus and his daughter who are desperate people in this story. There is also another desperate woman. A woman who has been subject to menstrual bleeding for 12 years. And she has suffered a great deal under the care of doctors and spent all she had on doctors. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. And when she heard about Jesus being able to heal people, she said to herself, "If I can just touch his clothes, I will be healed." This she did, and immediately the bleeding stopped, and she feels in her body that she is freed from her physical suffering. Now, you know a little bit about doctors in our lives, in your lives, right? I know a little bit about doctors in my life too. This woman has been to doctors for 12 years, and Jairus' daughter is 12 years old. It's uncanny how the number 12 occurs in this particular incident. She hears that Jesus can heal, but she is afraid to appear in crowds. Because in the Old Testament, Leviticus chapter 15, in the Old Testament, it says that a woman going through menstrual bleeding is ceremonially unclean. So she has been labeled as an unclean woman for 12 years. So she mixes with the crowds anonymously. She holds out her hand and reaches out for Jesus' cloak. To her amazement, her bleeding stops. She is healed. Yet, being the father of children, I wonder how Jairus feels when Jesus is talking to this woman. "My daughter is nearly dying. Yet why is Jesus taking his time to come to my house?" And the worst thing that could happen happens. And let's read what happens. Let's read Mark chapter 5, verse 35 and 36. While Jesus was still speaking, some people came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. "Your daughter is dead," they said. "Why bother the teacher anymore?" Overhearing what they said, Jesus told him, "Don't be afraid, just believe." Don't be afraid, just believe. Fear not. Trust me. And I wonder how Jairus felt as Jesus says these words to him. Because they have wasted precious time in that talk with the woman. They have not reached Jairus' house yet. And in the meantime, the daughter has died. And things get worse for Jesus in the eyes of the crowds. When they come to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus sees a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. He goes in and says to them, "Why all this commotion and wailing? The girl is asleep, not dead." The girl is not dead, but asleep. And what do? They laugh. They laugh at Jesus. And this shows us that the girl was truly dead. In those days, there was a custom of having what I would call professional mourners that come to the house once a person dies. And then Jesus claims to these professional mourners, to the crowds, the girl is not dead. She's asleep. And what do? They laugh. Ha ha. They laugh at Jesus. And I would venture to say, people are still laughing at Jesus today. People are still cynical of Jesus' statements about himself. I remember visiting the palliative care ward of Credit Valley Hospital for the first time in my life in September 2007. I was in pastoral ministry then in Richmond Hill. Parishioners of mine asked me to visit a friend of theirs at Credit Valley Hospital who was dying of cancer. And earlier, I had visited this friend in his home in Mississauga. And so now, I was walking into the palliative care ward at Credit Valley Hospital to visit this friend and his family. And as I was visiting this family and praying with them, I couldn't help but look at what was happening in the visitor's room. And it was a sight I will never forget for the rest of my life. One of the palliative care residents was a young mother, a very young mother. And I could say that she was a young mother because she was having lunch with her three kids, and I could see that the three kids were not over 10 years of age. They were all under 10 years of age, and her husband was there. So the five of them were having lunch together. And I could not get over this emotion that this young mother with three children under 10 years of age has so little precious time left on this earth. And she wants to spend every remaining time she has left with her husband and three children. And the only thing that she can give to the four most important people in her life at that particular time is making precious memories of being together. That is the only gift that she could give to them at that particular time. And so, when I look at situations like this, and when I think about situations that we are going through right now, especially as we pray for Patrick and other people in our community, I want to say I find it very difficult. I want to be honest. I want to be an honest pastor. I want to say that it is very difficult for me to hear these words of Jesus and to pray according to these words. Don't be afraid. Just believe. Fear not. Trust me. Don't be afraid. Just believe. Fear not. Trust me. And these are the words of Jesus as he walks into that room with that 12-year-old daughter of Jairus dead. Can Jairus and his wife really trust Jesus? But let's go back now. We will come back to Jairus and his wife. But let's go back now to this woman who is subject to menstrual bleeding for 12 years. She's freed from her physical suffering. And so she tries to disappear in the crowd. She tries to, okay? But Jesus, I believe, Jesus won't let her. At one, Jesus realizes that the power has gone out of him. He turns to the crowd and asks, "Who touched my clothes?" "You see the people crowding against you," his disciples answer. "And you ask this question, who touched me?" And as we read this passage, I believe that Jesus is not going to let this woman go quietly. He claims that the power has gone out of him, and he asks this question, "Who touched me?" You have to remember that this woman has endured 12 years of being let down by doctors. And during those 12 years, she has been suffering as being labeled an unclean woman. 12 years. As I said before, the Old Testament has pronounced that people who are going through a menstrual cycle are ceremonially unclean. And so Jesus speaks now through his actions rather than his words. He turns around and looks for the person who touched his cloak. The woman now realizes that she cannot hide. She needs to own up being healed in front of Jesus and the crowds. And let's look at Jesus' incredible response to her. Let's read Mark chapter 5, verse 33 and 34 right now. "Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, and trembling with fear, told him the truth. He said to her, 'Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering.'" So, when the bleeding stopped, the woman was healed of what I would call her physical condition. However, she has been subject to torment as an unclean woman in her synagogue and in her religious community for 12 long years. And I believe that Jesus is seeking this woman to make sure that she's not only healed in a physical sense, but she is also healed in what I would call an emotional and social sense. Because I think Jesus is asking this question. If she has experienced the stopping of the bleeding, is she ever going to forever retreat to her life of seclusion again and hide in the crowds? And what does this woman do? She does the same thing Jairus does when he first meets him at the boat. She falls at Jesus' feet and she tells him the whole truth. And it is not Jesus, it is not only Jesus who hears her. The crowds also hear her speak. "I touched your cloak. Immediately, the bleeding in me stopped. Thank you, Rabbi. Thank you, Lord." And as this woman speaks, she hears her voice in public, most probably for the first time in 12 years. This is a moment of truth for this woman. This is a moment of healing for this woman. Now, Jesus does not know by name, but he calls out to her, "Daughter, daughter." And he affirms or reaffirms her place in the community of the synagogue. She is a daughter of Abraham. The Jews in those days like to call themselves the sons and daughters of Abraham to trace their lineage back to Genesis, when Abraham was called to start a family to bless the whole world. And this is what Jesus says to this woman. Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. Jesus completes his healing of this woman. He restores her to her place in society. Jesus heals this woman in the most profound way. So let's go back to Jairus and his wife as they walk into the room with their daughter who is dead on the bed. If only the teacher was here earlier, our daughter would not have died. What if Jesus had not stopped for the woman but reached here in time before our daughter died? And if Jairus and his wife had such thoughts, I can understand them. No parent would like to see their child predecease them. So before this incident in the room, there were many voices, and there are many voices in the story. How noisy the world is. And it is now very quiet. There's only Jesus, Peter, James, John, Jairus, and Jairus' wife in the room. There are no professional mourners. There are no big crowds. There are no grumbling disciples. Can you hear the silence? I can hear the silence. It is very quiet. Jesus takes her up by the hand and says to her, Talitha kum, which means, little girl, I say to you, get up. Immediately the girl stands up and begins to walk around. At this, they are completely astonished. And he gives strict orders not to let anyone know about this. And just to prove that the girl is alive, he tells them to give her something to eat. Now, I need to be very clear about Old Testament law. I talked about the Old Testament law that calls women going to menstrual bleeding ceremony unclean. But there is also another type of Old Testament ceremonial law that Jesus infringes in this story. It is unclean to touch the body of a dead corpse. There are special regulations for doing that. And Jesus, what does he do? He ignores those special regulations. He immediately touches the dead hand of that girl, and he helps her get up. And she gets up and starts talking again and eating again. So this is a quiet Sunday morning. The noisy world is out there. Here are we with Jesus, Peter, James, John, Jairus, Jairus' wife, and the resurrected daughter in this quiet room. And what I'm ending this message now is to say that this is a matter for you and Jesus. You alone and Jesus. And you know that there are things that you have in your life that you think are dead. And it looks like an insurmountable problem for you. There are noisy people in the world out there. They are laughing at Jesus. They are laughing at you. And Jesus is saying that the girl is asleep and not dead. And he's saying this, don't be afraid. Just believe. Fear not. Trust me. And then Jesus, in the quietest of times, when you least expect it in your life, when you are broken down and nowhere to go in that quiet room, Jesus will give you a hand and help you up from your situation. And today, Jesus speaks directly to you, with or without crowds. That's the quietness of the moment I'm referring to. Don't be afraid. Just believe. Fear not. Trust me. And remember, Jesus drew out the woman from the crowd to give her complete healing. Physical healing for Jesus is not enough. He wants to give complete healing. And remember, Jesus takes the 12-year-old girl up by the hand and helps her up. Two different approaches, yet profound healing for the woman and the girl. Let's pray. Lord, we just leave ourselves to you in the quietness of the moment, and you are saying to us, don't be afraid, just believe, fear not, and trust me. Lord, give us the faith to trust in your words and you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. And the people said, Amen. Be still.